the late 80s, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the podcast Pat Trek. My continuing mission to introduce my friend Patrick to the best show that ever ran on television, and to boldly go where millions of white guys with glasses have gone before.
Hello, me and Pat are back with Pat Trek.
Yeah, episode eight or nine. Yeah, eight.
Depending on how you count Encounter at Farpoint.
Yeah, exactly. And that even threw off our guest this week.
Yeah, threw me off.
Carlos Luna, thanks for joining us, man.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, big Star Trek fan?
Not big. I did watch it growing up, like when it was in syndication.
Yeah.
My father loved it for whatever reason. I don't know.
Yeah, same here. My dad was a big fan as well.
I'm going to go with eight, though.
This is eight.
I'm going to make an executive decision that this is episode eight.
Well, yeah, because we're going by the original airing, right?
Yeah,
I agree.
What was it? What was it on Netflix?
Well, they call episode one/2 because when it went, episode one is an hour and a half long.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they cut it in half when it was in syndication, but they originally did it like a movie of the week type thing.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, I am very excited to talk about this episode because the Ferengi are back.
They're back.
I know how much, Patrick, you love the Ferengi.
Not a huge fan of them. I'm not going to lie.
Did they redeem themselves?
Not really. I'm going to get into it later, but I think that this villain episode was more suited to them.
Yeah, I agree.
That's what I'll say.
Yeah, I love their quest for profit. I thought that was really fun.
Yeah, I like that too. And it comes up a couple times. And even it comes up in their judicial system.
Yeah,
I thought that was really cool too.
There's a couple of really interesting production details.
Do
you want to get into that right now? Yeah. So the Stargazer. Did you recognize the set of the Stargazer?
No.
That is the battle bridge from Farpoint.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's the battle bridge in the first episode. They just reused it, yeah.
That's
which
cool.
is actually the same bridge from Star Trek The Journey Home, I think. One of the Star Trek original series movies. So it's all the same set. Yeah, and you really can notice it, too, when they are in the elevator. It's like the same exact elevator.
That's
so
funny.
I thought that was interesting. The other thing is the Stargazer was originally called a Constitution-class ship.
Right.
So the Enterprise is a Constitution-class.
Okay.
But then they decided that only the Enterprise should be a Constitution-class. So in post, they went back and dubbed over Constellation class over every time it was said. So you can actually, if you look closely at Geordi LaForge's lips, at one point he clearly says Constitution class, and it sounds like Constellation class.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah. So those were the fun facts of the episode. Should we do Patrick's Law?
Yeah, let's do Patrick's Law.
All right.
So this is what was happening the week of November 16th, 1987. That's when the battle aired. So this is just what we do to put you in the context of what was going on. Solemn memorial services in Belfast replaced demonstrations as Northern Ireland marked the anniversary of a treaty signed 2 years ago by Britain and Ireland in an effort to bring peace to the troubled province. So this is just a few years before all those zombies songs came out, basically. And I think U2 was really going on about this.
So. Yeah, totally. This was the catalyst for some great music.
Yeah, and also real people died.
Let's forget
real
about
horrible
that.
Discrimination and also terrorist violence and counter-terrorist violence going on.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. U.S. aid to El Salvador was misused to a large degree by the Salvadoran military and ruling party to conduct a civil war against rebel forces, a bipartisan congressional caucus charged. Yeah, so sorry. Real sad news this
week.
Apparently.
Yeah, that was a downer.
Yeah, Contras in El Salvador.
Kind of like this episode. A bit
of
a downer.
Yeah.
Yeah,
a little bit.
So, yeah. Start this off by talking about the murder of Oscar Romero. And there's another, this is kind of a weird parallel. Southern Black Democratic Group foundered in its efforts to set up a political strategy as supporters of the Reverend Jesse Jackson defeated resolutions that said would dilute their candidate's strength. So Jesse Jackson at this point was revving up his candidacy for the Democratic primary.
Oh, wow.
And he was like the first black candidate to really do pretty well in the primary. Like he won South Carolina and a couple other southern states, I believe.
So he was the first one to have a shot at it.
He was the first one to have a shot. Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting. It's crazy what happened to his son years later when we had our first African-American president.
Right. Yeah, that was really, really weird. Yeah. And, yeah, if you've ever read, like, Fire on the Prairie, I don't know if you read, it's about Harold Washington, the relationship with him and Jesse Jackson at this point, like, it was super strained. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's what was going on in the world.
Very cool. Well, should we get into the episode?
Yeah.
Let's do it. All right.
Episode 8, as we said, the battle. So the Enterprise is supposed to meet up with a Ferengi ship. They don't really know why. The Ferengi have, like, been keeping them waiting. And finally, Picard, you know, is called up. But before he is, like, he's talking to a Crusher because he's got a headache.
Yeah.
And headaches are apparently weird now.
Yeah, I like that.
Well, what's weird about it to me is that they recognize what a headache is and then followed by no one ever gets these.
Yeah.
So you think there would be more confusion over, like, there's pain in your brain? What is that?
It's like, you have the Black Plague?
What the hell? They really go out of their way to, like, rub it in our faces that, like, the common cold and headaches, like, we suffer for them today. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like almost like polio or like, you know, like scarlet fever is the equivalent to this. Yeah.
What's funny too is they put headaches and common colds on the same page, but they're two completely different things.
Yeah.
Like a million things can cause a headache. A common cold is a virus that you get.
Yeah. We haven't figured out how to, you know, really cure a virus. I guess that's why, but With the headache, they're like, we mapped the brain.
Right.
Yeah, and she talks like all this, like, oh, yeah, we haven't had this in forever. Mm-hmm. And I wrote down a bunch of, like, quotes that I think are very telling in, like, you know, in the story. And one of them that I wrote, the first one that I write down is, you shouldn't have a headache unless something's wrong.
Ooh.
Yeah, very ominous, like, ooh.
Foreshadowing?
And the other thing that I like is when she cures his headache, he's like, what was that? And she says, medical fakery, the pain is cloaked.
Yeah. She basically gave him an Advil.
Yeah, it's like an aspirin, right?
But she's also, like, using magic at this point.
Yeah.
It's cloaked. I love that.
Yeah.
So Picard has a headache. That's apparently a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
He gets called on the bridge to talk to these Ferengi guys, and there's a guy, Damon Bach. And Damon Bach says that he knows Picard, and he wants to meet with him in person on the bridge. And they have, like, this kind of, like, weird part where Wes is like, oh, you know, this is after Picard goes to the sick bay that we just talked about. Mm-hmm. Wes is like, oh, there's an intruder alert imminent. And it turns out he's been, like, messing with the sensors, and they find out that this old Federation starship is moving to the Enterprise, this thing that he used to be on.
Mm-hmm.
So he recognizes it.
Yeah, and this is a classic ship. They had to abandon it 9 years ago. And no spoilers. But, yeah, so 9 years ago, Captain Picard had to abandon this ship, and that's what they recognize.
And I really like that, they call out Wesley right away. Like, Picard calls him out, like, because Wesley's, like, probably going in there, like, I saved the day. Like, I'm doing this.
And he didn't follow protocol.
Yeah. Picard's like, oh, this could have really, like, destroyed our entire ship, but you want to hang out with the Ferengi and see them. He calls him out right away, which I love.
I like that, too.
Doesn't he say you should have done this over the comms
system? Exactly.
Yeah, instead of running in physically, like, this is the future.
Yeah.
Like, you can talk from another room.
Oh, and that reminds me, there's a production note I missed at the beginning. This is the first episode of Star Trek The Next Generation where the computer talks.
Oh.
Yeah, it hadn't happened yet, and she talks in this episode.
I didn't even notice that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's a part, where Beverly also says, perhaps your conscience.
Oh, like, yeah.
She says that in the beginning, she's like, perhaps your conscience, which I write down and I think, like, so a lot of times in well-written shows, like, the first couple lines that are said reveal a lot of what's going on, you know? So I write down, you know, you shouldn't have a headache unless something's wrong, medical fakery, the pain is cloaked, and perhaps it's your conscience. So I'm using all these, and I'm like, oh, yeah, they're going to do so much with this. But, yeah, carry on.
So, yeah, they set all this up, and the Ferengi are beaming aboard the vessel. They say the standard weird shit about clothed females, and they try to buy data, and they trick them out of it by saying, it's secondhand.
Like they would care. I don't think they would care
secondhand. They're going to buy anything that's going to make money.
And clearly he's secondhand. He's not in the factory right now.
He's not in the box. Exactly. He's not in the box.
So the Ferengi are like, hey, you know, Picard, this is your old ship from this thing called the Battle of Maxia. And Picard's like, I don't know what the hell that is.
Yeah.
And it turns out there was an engagement nine years ago where Picard destroyed a Ferengi warship that attacked him. And the Ferengi are like, we're just going to give this to you for free.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, something obviously is up.
Yeah. And the other Ferengi to the side, he's like, at no cost, like question mark. And he's like, ugly, very ugly.
See, this, I love this part of this episode because it starts to really shape the Ferengi. The first time you saw the Ferengi, that you knew they were sort of space piratey, but they didn't really have like a code of honor.
Ooh. Yeah.
Ooh, I just shuddered. But they didn't have a true code, where this episode, their code starts to come through.
Yeah, because at that point where he's like, at no cost, question mark, ugly, very ugly, I assume it's like, everything has a cost.
Yeah.
Like, everything has a cost, Picard. Also, at 8 minutes, 26 seconds, you can see a boom mic.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Another production, though.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I just put that in there.
Yeah, so we're still trying to figure out what's up with Picard's headache, too. This is a major plot point, is his fucking headache.
It is.
They never happened.
It's never happened before.
So they have to consult Troy, you know, with the mind reader. She doesn't know what's up. Dr. Crusher doesn't know what's up. And then in the officer's lounge, Picard is like regaling everyone about this Battle of Maxia.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently he did this maneuver, the Picard maneuver, warped towards the Ferengi warship and then stopped right before he hit their hull and then opened fire. And apparently that caused the Enterprise, or not the Enterprise, the Stargazer, his old ship, to appear in two different places at once, and the Ferengi fired on the wrong one.
Yep. And this was the first time this move was ever done.
Yeah, apparently everyone else had studied this in Starfleet.
And he said, at one point, Picard's like, it's anything a decent helmsman would do. And then Riker's response to that was like, but you were the first.
Oh,
which is pretty badass.
But he also takes, like, the panning shots to Riker are just, like, so suck-up-ish. Riker's like, oh, you're the best captain
you're
of all.
So cool.
You're so awesome, sir.
Mm-hmm. I also love that, what was the bad guy's name again?
Bach.
Yeah. When Bach, they start talking about the battle, and Picard doesn't remember it at all.
Yeah, it's a big deal to them.
Yeah, and to Picard, it was a, you know, just
minor
another
engagement
that he went through.
So they send an away team onto the vessel. It's spooky, dilapidated, abandoned, and then Picard and Crusher beam aboard, and Picard has this weird moment where he's like reminiscing about everything that happened on the bridge of his old ship, and he starts to go through his old stuff on the cabin. And then we cut to, on the Ferengi ship, there's this Ferengi guy with a weird globe. I guess it's Bach. And he's messing with this globe, and then Picard falls on his knees in pain. Crusher sends him back to the Enterprise.
Yeah, and I think a big thing to note here is when Picard's on the Stargazer, he's not really reminiscing. He's almost hallucinating.
Yeah.
He's starting to feel like he's about to be in
the battle.
Well, and he has the first slip when they're in the meeting.
Yeah.
He calls someone Virgil, and they're like, who's Virgil? You know what I mean? Like, and like, so you can tell he's drifting in and out of like reality and the past at that point.
By this point, Riker's getting kind of suspicious. He talks to the Ferengi first mate. I don't know what they're, what they call him. On the view screen, he's like, all right, we're going to tow this ship away. Picard is pretty troubled. Troy can't figure out why. Crusher can't figure out why. He tries to sleep, but all he hears is the sound of the battle. And he's brought in his chest his old belongings from the other ship in the room. And there's something up with what he brought in the chest.
Yeah, you can see the orb, and when he's in the Stargazer, you can see that little orb thing inside the chest. The,
yeah.
So he's having like space dreams at this time.
Yeah, yeah.
Space mares.
And then Data finds a log from the old Battle of Maxia. And the log says that the Ferengi ship was actually under truce, and the fire in the Stargazer wasn't from enemy fire, it was just an accident. And so that means that it was just an act of war that Picard did, if this is to be believed.
Right, and the thing is that in the log, it's Picard speaking.
Yeah.
And so Picard is starting to listen to that and get very confused about what happened, because he's having all of these hallucinations and flashbacks, and it's starting to get really blurry between what's happening right now, what actually happened in the past,
and the log says.
And what the log says.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is, Riker believes him, because Picard's like, I never said this.
Yeah.
Look, like, what happened happened, and this isn't that. And Riker's like, look, I believe you. But then Picard says, but we have to submit this to the Federation.
See, and I'm, at this point, I'm kind of hooked.
Because
I'm really involved. I'm like, oh, man, is he having, like, PTSD? Did he block this all out? And especially from the beginning where, like, Beverly's like, oh, perhaps it's your conscience.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm just like, oh, man, maybe Picard did something shitty.
The
Ferengi
say that, too.
Yeah. Like, everyone is kind of, like, implying, like, you did something wrong,
exactly.
You know? And he's kind of, like, denying it the entire time. And I'm like, oh, man, we're going to find out. Picard has some
He's got
dark
some
shit.
Skeletons.
Yeah, he's got some shit on him. And I think at that point, has someone talked to I have my notes. I don't know if we're at this point where they talk to another Ferengi. And he says, I'm all ears.
Yeah, he
does. I just love that part.
Yeah, this is
Ferengi have huge ears.
Right, so this is what happens next.
Oh,
Riker
okay.
is communicating with that first mate
That's
we were talking to. The guy, his name is Kazago, is what I have written.
Yeah, and they have a first mate to first mate conversation.
Yeah. And that's when Kazago's like, I'm all ears.
Yeah.
Kazago insists that what he hears on the log happened. It was like, no, Picard destroyed an unarmed vessel. Riker is like, look, I can get proof that he didn't, and Kazago's insulted and logs off.
Yeah.
And then meanwhile, the globe thing on the Ferengi ship is still messing with Picard's head, and Crusher's like trying to help him with it.
And during the conversation that Riker has with Picard after he confronts him, and he's kind of like, hey, I heard some fucked up shit, man. I gotta tell, you know, I gotta tell on you, basically. And this is another part where it hooks me. Picard starts doing the math on when he's actually gonna get in trouble.
Right.
And I'm like, oh man, Picard did do some shitty stuff.
Right.
Because he's like, it's gonna take a day to go. He's like telling Riker, he's like, okay, you send your message. It's gonna take a day to go out, and it's gonna take a day to come back. I have to solve this by then.
But yeah, which I think is cool because it sets a time frame.
Exactly.
Like, oh, they have to solve this within 2 days.
Yeah,
that's what they got.
And I love the way you interpreted that.
Yeah.
Because for me, it shows how honorable Captain Picard is. Because he's so honorable, he's like, hey, I could get in trouble here. This is not how I remember it happening, but I have 2 days to prove it right. But he's so honorable, he is saying,
he's still going to,
I'm going to sit through this and we're going to figure it
out. Yeah, I don't know. I just took it as just like, when you're honest and like you got nothing to hide, you're not doing the math on when it's going to come, the hammer comes down.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know what I mean? Like, so I the entire time I'm so suspicious, and especially with those lines in the beginning, I was just like, oh man, something has come back from the past to haunt him, much like a headache that doesn't exist anymore, you know, that no one can see and no one can really treat. And I was just like, oh man, Picard's going to get it so hard.
Yeah, and this is the part that kind of made me think that maybe he actually did something, because like Crusher's trying to help him, but Picard is feeling all this guilt.
Yeah.
And it kind of, you know, we kind of suspect he's being gaslit somehow and having these false memories, but he feels actual guilt about it and has like PTSD over it. He's trying to sleep, but the globe guy, you know, we cut back to Bach with the globe, and he's messing with his dreams, and he's like implanting false memories of the battle in his head. But then Data is like investigating the logs, and he's like, look, one of them, we don't know which one of these logs is a forgery. We can tell by the electronic signature. And Picard comes back and he looks fine. Which is weird.
Yeah, because the guy was like, and that's the thing. So I didn't get the fact that the guy was, I didn't feel like he was putting false images in his head or rewriting what happened. I think he was just kind of like I took it as like he's shifting Picard's mind from the present and trying to put him in the past.
Yeah.
That's what I took.
Trying to make him relive.
Yeah, trying to make him relive this like really dangerous thing and trying to get him to think this is his reality now.
Totally. That's where all the PTSD stuff comes from, is from that manipulation that's going on. Because why would all these... I guess seeing your old ship could bring it all back, probably.
Yeah.
But I think it's the glowing orb in his suitcase.
Well, I really... And at this point, you know, I really thought that they were going to bring up, like... They were going to uncover something in Picard's mind that he had buried that he doesn't even remember. So I was waiting for it. And we're at 25 minutes into the episode, and I'm just like, oh, it's going to happen
Any minute. I was kind of waiting or hoping for that, too. But then, you know, Troy Crusher is still trying to get into his head. And Troy says something about different thoughts from Picard are intertwined with the thoughts that he's currently having or something.
The duality of man strikes
man back again.
I love at this point, too, isn't this when his headache hurts so bad it hurts Deanna Troi?
Yeah.
She's like, oh, I can feel it, too!
Yeah.
The most useless character.
Yeah. So then Wes interrupts all this, and even though he's like 12 and not a fucking brain surgeon, he solved the mystery of the globe guy. He's like, there's this guy with a globe that's messing with his head.
No. Well, Patrick,
He figures out exactly what's going on.
Well, how he does it is because the signals, he looks at, his mom's doing work on Picard in sickbay, and he recognized a pattern on the wall. I don't know what sort of measurement device
it
was.
He finds some kind of sensor pattern.
But he sees the sensor pattern, and he goes, that's the same sensor pattern I'm picking up from space. Because he built the tracking system earlier.
He did. Of course he did.
You guys have talked about this on... you've talked about Wesley on all the episodes.
Patrick hates Wesley.
I hate him.
Growing up, I thought Wesley was pretty much a badass. Mm-hmm. Like, I thought he was really cool. Watching him now... Oh, what an asshole.
Well, see, I never watched this when I was a kid, really.
As a kid, you kind of do side with him.
Yeah. Did you know, gosh, I should have done this production note at the beginning, too, but on this episode, it's the first time you see Wesley in the rainbow shirt thing
that he wears
for the rest of the season.
Oh.
Yeah. So they finally decided on a costume for him.
Rainbow. There's another thing that I think is telling, too. Beverly, she's like... she says emotional pressure. She asked Picard, like, is it emotional pressure?
It's
like,
oh, yeah. So doctors are, like, able to diagnose that now.
And she's like, want to talk about it, which I also think is, you know, like a callback to the Ferengi guy who is just like, I'm all ears, you know, like, I'm here to help. I want to talk about it. And the Ferengi guy, he says, like, when he's playing with his ball thing, he's, like, ready to live in the past.
Yeah.
Like, so he's, like, putting him back there.
Warping time and perception. Because if you remember, time, space, and thought are all one thing, Patrick. And it's happening right now again.
Yeah, so Crusher and Troi relay the info about the transmission to Riker. And they find that Picard is in the transporter room all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, oh, shit, what'd he do? And then he's back on the Stargazer again. And... there's Damon Bach with a red globe, and he injures Picard's mind with it. And then on the bridge, the crew gets this transmission coming from one of the chests that they brought to Picard's cabin from the Stargazer. So they find the other red globe. And I think by now they're starting to figure out what is going on. Worf runs to check it out, but the Stargazer's powering up. And Damon Bach lets Picard know that he's like, oh, by the way, that Ferengi ship you blew up 9 years ago, my son was on that.
Dun, dun, dun.
And so Bach incapacitates Picard and beams off of the Stargazer. So Bach is gone. Picard is left alone. And the Stargazer is like wheeling around. It looks like it's about to ram the Enterprise. And Geordi, Troi, and Crusher kind of figure out. It's like, oh, this red globe thing. That's an amplifier. And they figure out it's some kind of like thought amplifier. They contact Kazago, the first mate. And... Kazago's like, how'd you get a thought maker?
Yeah.
That's illegal.
Yeah. Yeah, they're banned in the Ferengi. They're banned Ferengi technology.
And what was the name of the bad guy?
Bach.
Bach. Yeah. Bach actually says that, you know, this cost. He says like how rich he is and, you know, stuff like that. And he says, this has cost me like my fortune. You know what I mean? Like this one thing. And he's also got two of them too, which I think is pretty baller.
That's a rich guy.
Yeah, that's a rich guy.
Well, it seems like having two Rolls Royces. Yeah.
It seems like you would have to have two though for it to actually work. Cause he's got to put one transmitter on the Enterprise, and he's got to have the other one.
Yeah, but...
But he leaves the other one. He leaves it on the Stargazer. Shit, yeah.
So he ditches his fortune. He could have sold those back after he got vengeance.
Right? Or just have Picard bring his to the ship.
By the way,
he's in his mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
While I'm controlling your mind, do you mind just, like, bringing that really expensive thing? And I got, thanks, buddy.
Didn't do that.
So... So Kazago knows what this is, and it seems like he's a little pissed at Bok for making him go along with this weird plan. He's just like, oh, you got a thought maker? God damn it, Bok.
Yeah. Well, because there's no profit in this journey. Yeah. What is the Ferengi crew gaining by putting themselves at all this risk? It's for vengeance, and vengeance is not acceptable in the Ferengi code.
And there's also this mirror between, like... the Ferengi and, you know, was the starship or whatever, that they kind of follow the same rules. You know, like, they have their Picard, they have their Riker, you know? And at one point, Riker is like first officer to first officer, Kazago, you know? And, you know, Kazago wants to stick up for his captain right away, the same way Riker wants to stick up for his captain right away. And Riker's ready to turn in his captain. Kazago's ready to turn in his captain. Like, who's right, who's wrong? It's going to be decided, like, right now.
Yeah. Because on the Stargazer, Picard is reliving the Battle of Maxia.
Oh, he's now completely lost it.
Yeah, and Bok has messed with his head so bad, he's making Picard think that the Enterprise is the Ferengi vessel that he killed 9 years ago. And nobody can get in touch with him because the shields on the Stargazer are up.
Yep.
And
isn't this the point where he's seeing all of the ghosts?
Yeah.
And stuff in there?
Yeah. Ghost officers.
Yeah. There's ghost officers everywhere, which it's an old show. So the special effects are really bad.
Yeah.
And everything's
terrible.
On fire, but it's like one little big lighter on everything.
Yeah. It's something that they could have easily put out.
Yeah, exactly. A glass of water would have solved that problem. Yeah.
But this is the one time when Troy's powers actually come into good use. Because she can get in touch with his mind from the other ship. When they can't use their comm to get in touch with Captain Picard. And they figure out that he's reliving the battle through this. Riker gets Data to try to think of some defense against the Picard maneuver that we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
And apparently there isn't one. No. So that's what in Picard's brain, they are the Ferengi vessel. This is 9 years ago. He's got to blow them up.
Yep.
So Bok has put him in a position where he is going to kill his own friends.
Genius!
It is a fucked up plan. Like, when I was watching, I was like, man, that is messed. That is cold.
Yeah.
That is cold, Damon Bok. So at this point, then something out of the blue happens. Kazago tries to contact Riker. He's like, hey, I put Bok in the brig.
Yep.
He's not the captain anymore. His Enterprise was not profitable.
Yes. See, I love that line, too.
I like it, too.
Yeah. And then Data figures out a way to defend against the Picard maneuver. He's like, well, you know, there's trace gases in space, and our sensors can detect compression. So we can figure out where the physical Stargazer is moving based on the compression of gases instead of trying to read the ship itself. So we'll know where it is, which one is the right one to fire on. So they do that. They lock the tractor beam on it instead of actual weapons because they don't want to kill their captain. And Riker is able to get through to the captain when, you know, they have it in stasis. And he's like, hey, this Damon Bok guy got in your head. Do you see a red sphere on there by any chance?
Yeah. I love it back, my fortune. Side.
He's just like, oh, yeah. He's like, yeah, that's a thought maker. You want to blow that up with your phaser. And, you know, it takes a little while to him to fight through it and, like, figure out where the hell he is. But he does. And then he, like, blows up in slow motion.
Slow motion. I wrote that down. I was like,
so weird.
Yeah, the action in this was just, in this entire episode was just, there was nothing. Like, even when he was doing his flashback, all they showed was his eyes moving and people yelling. killing, and I was like, we're not even going to see the action of it? Yeah. And then at this point, he's just like the spear, and like he's having trouble like using his phaser on it, and then like slow motion as he like falls.
And it looks like an old Power Rangers episode.
Oh, yeah, that's
what I kept thinking of, because there's just like random sparks going on.
Like, I know that it's low budget. I get that.
Yeah.
I know it's TV in the 80s, but why'd you do the slow motion?
Yeah.
Like, just make them blow it up. You're not going to make it look more dramatic. You're just going to make it look more shitty.
Yeah.
You're going to really amplify how shitty this looks.
Or make it harder to destroy.
Yeah.
Right? That was it?
Because he really just pointed his phaser at it and it blew up. And that's so dramatic that... No.
And how come the other one isn't doing anything?
Yeah.
Can't they use that one to, like, mess with him? Like
the one back on the Enterprise?
Yeah, can't they use that?
Yeah, what? Is it like a master-slave kind of thing? You know how, like, hard drives work?
Yeah,
I think it kind of is. I think they need one.
I thought it was, like, a walkie-talkie type thing.
Yeah, they need two of them
for it to actually work.
So he must have bought them as a kit.
I guess so.
I think we all agree. They came as a set.
But anyway, Picard comes to his senses. He goes back on board the Enterprise, and... the show ends with him basically saying, it's like, oh, well, there's no profit in revenge.
Yeah.
Yep.
In revenge, there never is.
Yeah, that was
the last line, yeah.
I love Picard. Picard's the man, isn't he?
He's the man about this entire episode. There is no, like, inner conflict at all.
No.
At all. Like, he's literally just, like, a victim of some other person's, like, problem. And no one learns anything in this entire thing. The only person that learns anything is, what's his name? Hazago. He's the only one that learns anything.
Yeah.
Like, right? Because, right. like...
Yeah.
He figured out that his captain was a dingus.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah. Like, so at this point, being built up about your conscience and all that stuff, I'm like, okay, maybe Picard's going to learn, like, there's two sides of every coin. Maybe he's going to learn that, like...
There's two different perceptions.
Exactly. Like, maybe he was right to fire on them because he didn't have all the information, but maybe, like, we would see their ship trying to hail him and, like, he didn't get it, or there was, because of the fire, you know
right,
what I mean? The
right.
fire blew out their instruments, and he would feel some type of guilt, like, oh, shit. Like, I did kind of fucked. It did, not that I fucked it up. It was just, like... These people weren't trying to hurt us. It was a misunderstanding or whatever.
Right.
We would learn something. Nope. Picard was 100% correct. And someone was just trying to fuck with him the entire time.
That's the main problem I had with it.
Yeah.
It's just like, it really set you up in thinking that there would be, because they go through like, oh, duality of man.
Yeah.
Oh, your conscience, blah, blah, blah. It's like, maybe there actually was something different than what he experienced that the Ferengi experienced. And maybe from their perspective, it was not...
Yeah, it could have been a great story about war.
Right.
Yeah, like, everybody who's on... Whatever side of the war you're on, you do feel like you're right and justified in the
actions. Yeah, but instead, Damon Bach was just like some mustache-twirling villain. You know,
I could have fixed this entire episode. You want to know how you do it?
Yeah.
If you're Bach, all you do is you bring Picard to the Stargazer or whatever, and you make him think that he's his son, and you give him his son's memories.
Yeah.
And his son, what his son went through during that entire pain, and then you blow up Picard.
Yeah.
That's what you do, you know, you could see his son trying to hail the ship, the other Ferengi being scared, Ferengi women like praying or whatever. Like, you show them the casualties of war, that this thing that Picard doesn't even remember. He doesn't even remember killing these people, you know what I mean? And that's how you that's how you give Picard a conscience at the end of
that
episode.
That's awesome.
Or
when he gets to the ship, you shoot him.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and then boom, you won.
Well, the whole point of Bach's thing is that he wanted to like psychologically torture this guy that killed his son, but I think Carlos has it right.
Oh yeah, that's way
like,
better.
One,
right?
That's a much worse torture.
Yeah.
Because you know how it ends.
Yeah.
And two, we, as the audience, get to see the other side
of
this.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And I feel like we were set up to see the other side of it, and it's like, no, it was a forgery. Bach's just evil.
Yeah.
Well, I think we've naturally gotten to when we rate this episode.
Yeah.
So, Carlos, we like to rate a Star Trek episode on three levels. Set to kill means you loved it and you'd recommend it to everybody. Set to stun means it was okay. And you can leave it in the holster. And that means we don't ever need to revisit this episode ever again.
I want to say that my hand reached for it. Like, my hand, like, reached for the holster, and then I just left it in there at the end. I didn't set it at all. I kind of looked at it and, like, you know, cleaned it off a little bit and then put it back in the holster.
Yeah. What about you, Patrick?
I'm going to say set to stun.
Oh, wow.
Well, okay. Like, it wasn't great, but I enjoyed the setup, and I'm not a huge fan of the Ferengi yet, but I felt like this plot was something that they would do. It's just like, oh, yeah, they wanted to use them as villains. They're not, like, aggressive, they're not intimidating, but they're sneaky,
mm-hmm.
and they, you know, psychologically torture people. It's like, okay, that's cool, but like what we said earlier, there's no gray area in this at all, even when they're set up to be gray area, and that bothered me. And B, why would they go along with this plan? They show up, it's like, the Ferengi are giving you something for free.
Yeah.
Like, and that was, by the way, go ahead, get in it.
And I think that was another problem that I had was just like, after learning, like, it's a part of their, like, culture, like, almost like judicial system to have profit, like,
yeah.
which I dig, that, like, he could have easily sold the starship for something. It doesn't have to be a lot. It didn't have to be, like, where he's, like, you know, taking as much as he can. But, like, even to keep up appearances, like, he should have tried to sell it for something, right?
So, Patrick, I think this is the very first time in history something's going to happen on Fat Trek.
Oh, yeah?
I'm going to give it a leave it in the holster.
Whoa.
This is the first time you've rated an episode higher than I've rated an episode.
You're the real Pat Trek.
Yeah, which one of us is the warped, mirrored version? No, my whole thing is the only thing I liked about this episode is the fact that we get to learn more about the Ferengi.
Yeah.
I think I like the Ferengi later. We've talked about this before. And I like what the Ferengi become and what they represent. I think they're really interesting characters. And they start to become that in this episode, where the first one, they're so cartoonish and silly. But otherwise, I found it exceptionally boring.
Yeah.
It's like we spend so much time watching Picard hold his head with a headache.
Yeah, and that's all it is.
Yeah, it's like half the episode is just Picard, like, I have pain in my face.
It did bother me that this episode was called The Battle, and there was no battle.
Yes.
No, yeah. And I think the production value was so low on it that it, like, kept pulling me out of the episode. And I'm trying not to critique it too hard on that, but... For even in season one, we've seen much better episodes that were shot a lot better, that moved at a better speed. I just found this episode incredibly boring. Like, three things happened.
Yeah. And I even thought, like, there was so much that they could have done. Like, even, like, other things where he was constantly getting, like, medicine for his head from Beverly. I thought maybe he'd be addicted to it, or maybe it would have some type of repercussion to it. Like, no repercussion.
No.
It was just a headache.
Yeah, but so we're still in season one. So Gene Roddenberry's vision of, you know, humans are in a utopia. There's no conflict. There's no addiction anymore. There's not even money. There's no greed. Like, that is still very much a part of this episode. And I think that this suffers for it, because you could have told a really great Picard story here, which in later episodes we get to see a lot of stuff of Picard having a conflict of faith, if you will, because he trusts in Starfleet and what the Starfleet represents so much. And at certain points, Starfleet could be wrong depending on what side of the conversation you're on. In this episode,
we didn't see that.
We could have had that.
Yeah.
We could have, but instead we had him clutching his head for 20 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing that I thought was kind of if you're watching it with, like, fresh eyes for the first time, and the Wesley character, after he tells them, you know, these are the same radio transmission waves or whatever, they leave, Troy and Beverly leave, and to himself he goes, "You're welcome, ladies," and he leans against the wall and he goes, "Adults."
Adults, yeah.
But, like... In a supervillain kind of way, you know? I was just like,
so Will Wheaton is quoted as saying that this is the episode where people went from not liking Wesley to absolutely hating Wesley.
Oh, yeah.
And that makes sense.
It makes sense. It's the purple shirt, or not the, excuse me, the rainbow shirt. Well, all right, I think we did it. I think we talked about this episode as much as you possibly could.
Possibly could.
Oh, God. And Carlos, I'm sorry that this is the first time we brought you on for this one. We'll bring you back on a better episode, most certainly.
It was a lot of fun. I like making the episode better with you guys, actually.
Yeah, truly. I think that should be a new segment.
Yeah.
Ways to have improved the episode.
Yeah.
We haven't done enough of that. Is there anything you want to talk about before we get out of here?
Like to plug?
Yeah.
Oh.
See, that's my way of trying to do it.
Oh, okay.
Seamlessly and less. All right,
just cut that out. Cut that part out. Cut it out. Before we go, I run a show at Bughouse Fridays at 8 called Skull Mountain.
Yeah.
It's like a variety show, so like musicians, comedians, improv. You're all welcome to come and play.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Our friends at Fun Fun Boys do that.
Oh, Fun Fun,
well.
Yeah. The Comet and the Fun Fun Boys play.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Patrick?
Well, I have another podcast, Politicked Off. Me and Zach Mast talk about a pressing issue of the week and have a special guest.
Yeah.
So politickedoffpod.tumblr.com. Check that out.
We're going to set you up with a real URL soon. We got you a real logo.
Oh, yeah. Logo new looks great. Logo Thanks, great. David Jensen.
Yeah. You can follow David Jensen at Practice Daily. He's a phenomenal designer. We love his work. And then I do another podcast called Making New Friends. You can find that on peachesandhotsauce.com. I think I might be moving it soon, but you can still find it at peachesandhotsauce.com. Additionally, if you're super confused about what's going on Instagram right now, let me explain it. For a long time, Peaches and Hot Sauce, the Instagram handle, was me doing personal things as well as some Peaches and Hot Sauce stuff. Mm. We've grown to a point now where we should really have separate accounts between Peaches and Hot Sauce, which is a collective of comedians, and my pictures of my puppy. So I moved that account over, and there's a new Peaches and Hot Sauce account. So if you were following me or you're still following me but want to get a bunch of Peaches and Hot Sauce updates, please go to that. And now there's also another new account. I am overwhelmed with Instagram right now, called the Peach Pit, or it's at Peach Pit Studio. And that account is everything that's happening in here, whether or not it's the Peaches and Hot Sauce Collective or other people creating stuff. That's what you'll see on that feed. I know it's confusing. I know it's super wonky, but growing pains. What can I say? I think that's it. Anything else from you guys?
Let's see what's out there.
Peaches. Hot sauce. 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 Peaches. Hot sauce.